Kids doing their own UK rock podcast. You're listening to Down the Front Podcast with your hosts, Naomi and David. Let's rock. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
How's it going? How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, David?
I'm good. It's a Friday. It's going great. Episode one, down the front. Looking forward to it.
It is. It's going to be really exciting. We've got so many things to talk about.
All the things. And I just want to say our intro. I want to thank me for doing it. Thanks, me.
Top intro. And obviously, you're going to be doing a different one every week. Just to keep me entertained.
What was that?
Keep me entertained.
Keep you entertained, yeah. That's all it's for, like no one else.
Obviously.
It's not even going to make the final cut. It'll just be you stockpiling them in a world.
So no, it's all good.
It's all good.
So, episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have a little chat about...
Planet Rockstock, Treco Bay in not-so-sunny Wales.
Yeah, it was cold.
Absolutely freezing. I don't think my bones have ever been that cold. They're ridiculous.
Really, really cold. But it was the first time that we've both been to that particular festival.
It was, yeah. I didn't know what to expect, really. Listened to Planet Rock for a number of years, and they always, go on about, like, oh, Rockstock, Treco Bay. And I'm like, that's, like, down the road for me. How have I never been there, you know?
Yeah.
It was great. I thought it was an absolute amazing weekend. Saw lots of really good bands. And
they have a great lineup. And it's just, it's so superbly organised as well. So across the two stages that run every day across the whole weekend. So it's just, it's a phenomenal thing to go and experience. I really loved it.
Yeah, and like I say, it's across two stages. It's advertised as 3 days, but there was a Thursday for the Gold Pass members. I never got the impression that anything was fucking up, it seemed from my point of view to be quite smooth. I know speaking to a couple of the bands, they were like, this band went over their set and that fucked up our set, but yeah, it's live music, so it all went quite well. Yeah.
And I say, you had a different ticket to what I did, so you got an extra day. So
I did. Because I'm better than you, and I know it.
That's really mean. Thanks.
And it's not true.
Obs. But yeah, you went, so you got to see four bands on Thursday?
So went to see Tax the Heat in Cardiff a couple of days before Rockstock. They were just kind of finishing up, I guess, their support of Terrorvision. I think they've been doing that European tour for about 3-4 weeks. Spoke to Jack, the drummer. And he just hooked me up with tickets for Thursday. Turns out then actually hooked me up with the whole weekend pass. So
we love Jack.
We do love Jack, yeah. So I got to experience the whole 4 days of Rockstock, which was great. So Thursday night was the kind of unofficial kickoff, if you like. And I saw four bands. It was the Mojo Sinners, Lazuli, a French band, Broken Wit Rebels, and Tax the Heat were headlining. I gotta say, like, all four bands blew me away. They were fantastic. Kind of traffic issues meant that I missed the beginning of the Mojo Sinner set, but I kind of came in, you could hear the music as you're going up to stage two, and you're like, okay, this is cool. I get in there, and, like, the guitarist is just ripping out some, badass solo. I'm like, yeah, you've got my attention. And they're like three guys, I think they're a Welsh band, and they were great. They were just blew through their set. There's some really good guitar work going on, some good songs there. I was very impressed. And then Lazuli came on, and they're there in their like little black aprons, like they've just come out of the kitchen. And I'm like, I got food on order, you boys, don't be messing about. And they're like, they're playing some Eastern Scales, warming up. And I'm like, I'm quite open with music, but, when you see a band, you're like, I've never heard of you. I don't know what to expect. I'm like, okay. And they're there. The guitarist has got a massive, thick, graying dreads. And, the singer's got, like, this beard that's kind of tied up in a plait that hangs down. A bit like, Chavo from System of a Down.
Yeah.
And he's got this thing going on, and you're like, well... One of these guys, and they started playing, and all his vocals are kind of drenched in reverb and he's singing French. And I'm like, these guys better be French, otherwise they're really up themselves. and they were French. And they were fucking good, man. I think it took a couple of songs for the crowd to be like, what happened, they were awesome. They got into it and they were great. And they didn't have a bass player, and there's a guy on the side, and he's playing some kind of electronic-ish instrument, and I thought it was a Chapman stick, because I haven't seen a Chapman stick for years, and I couldn't remember what it looked like. And I looked this up afterwards, and he's playing something called a Leode, L-E-O-D-E, with a little thing on the E. I think it's pronounced like that. And it's basically like just this electronic kind of, it's not even a bass, I don't even know what it is. He was getting some crazy sounds out of it, but they were fucking good, man. They were really good. I was really impressed with them.
I actually am tuned into a live stream whilst they were on, because I was missing out that night, but they sounded phenomenal. I really, really liked them.
Yeah, they kind of had, like you say, the French prog band, and they got this kind of metal, hard rock kind of sound. They got a keyboard player there, and then they kind of go off into, it does sound like almost Middle Eastern, you know, with the scales they're using and stuff. And yeah, they were good. They went down a storm. The crowd loved them in the end. And then Broken Wit Rebels came on.
They're incredible. I've seen those live at a pub in London. Yeah. I did a gig with Taxi the Heat, so I saw them both there, but they're amazing live bands.
Yeah, well, I think you kind of bigged them up to me at some point, and so I was aware of that. I was like, okay, this is the first band on tonight that I've heard of before the night itself. I was like, okay, let's see. You know, I think they're from Birmingham. And yeah, so like, you know, when people go, oh, check this band out, they're really good, you have an expectation. I thought they were great. There was, I think, a little issue at the beginning of the set with the sound, but they, you know, I think they just stopped the song, kind of said something to the sound guy and then sorted it out. I think there was an issue with the drum, I think a cymbal, and maybe the tom fell over in one of the songs, but that was because of the carpet they were using or something under the kick drum. I don't know, it was weird. But they were great. And the guitarist, James, I think he's been nominated as Best New Guitarist for some poll. I was really impressed with him. You know, I thought he was really good. There was a couple of guitarists over the entire weekend, actually, that kind of stood out for me as memorable. And he was one of them. He wasn't like a flashy player or anything like that, but he just seemed to be playing, you know, the right parts to serve the song. I was really impressed. And they put on a great, great show, you know, and they're touring next year, and I hope to catch them again, because I thought they were really good. And then Taxi Heat came on, and it's the third time that I've seen Taxi Heat this year. I saw them in Cardiff supporting Reef, and they were awesome. I saw them 2 days before Rockstock supporting Terrorvision, who I didn't stay for because I didn't care, but they were awesome again. A couple of technical issues there, but otherwise fine. So it's the first time I've seen them do like a full like hour and a half set. They've only got the one album, Fed to the Lions, but they did well. I think they did a couple of songs that were off maybe an EP they had out before, which got them noticed by Planet Rock, I think. Went through songs from the debut. I think they may have even played a new song. I can't remember if Alex said one of them was new. They were superb. Absolutely superb. Put on a great show. Worthy headliners for Thursday night, definitely. And I think, you know, you need to check out the album if you haven't already. And if you can get to see them live, and actually if you can get to see any of these four bands, Mojo Sinners, Lazuli, Broken Wit Rebels, Taxi, if you can see any of them live, absolutely recommend it, because they were great. And as I say, Thursday night, four bands, four great sets. Wasn't disappointed in anything. I thought they were absolutely fantastic, a lot of them, and Thursday was a blast. It was really good.
Sounds like a good way to open up the festival then.
Absolutely. And everybody, there was only about 500 people there, if that.
Yeah.
So it was quite intimate, because obviously this is the extra, you know, unadvertised day or whatever it is. But it was great. Absolutely great.
And then obviously it got better because I arrived the next day.
Obviously. I was like, wow. How can you top Thursday? Hi, everybody.
So then from the Friday, then they had two stages running. So we had stage two that runs all day and then into the main stage in the evening. So incredible bands again on the Friday all day. So we saw in the main stage on the Friday, we had Stonebroken, who opened up the main stage.
They were great.
I've seen Stonebroken probably about 8 or 9 times now since when I first saw them in June. They're that good. They're really, really talented, really great guys.
8 or 9 times in, what, 6 months?
Yeah.
Jesus, that's good.
But they're worth it. And it's just, you know, okay, they've got their first album out, they're playing songs from the first album. Recently, they've started playing newer songs because they're building up for their second album again. But every time you go and see them, you don't, you know, okay, it's just similar sets, et cetera, but it's, you don't mind. They're great. They're really, really great to go and listen to. A great live band.
That's it. I mean, yeah, because live performances are different. You can play the same songs, but sometimes bands will be feeling it. Sometimes bands will be in autopilot mode because they're on a tour. But, you know, live is, you know, it's that moment.
It is. And I think
it's on.
It depends on the crowds as well, doesn't it? And how they're feeding off of them and stuff. So it's, they're really, really good. Love seeing them. And they're great guys as well. So it's always nice to chat to them and things after. So, but Rich, who the lead singer, he did an amazing job despite being really ill. So...
We spoke to them afterwards, Rich and Robin. Drums, fucking a monster on the drums, isn't she? Yeah, and then they were playing, I think, Basingstoke the next night, and that got cancelled because Rich, his voice was poorly bad.
Yeah.
And they had to stop that, unfortunately. But
We're lucky.
It was my first time seeing them. I thought they were fantastic.
Would you see them again?
Yeah, definitely. Would, yeah. They kind of reminded me, I don't know if this is fair or not, but they kind of reminded me of like of the hard rock of Nickelback, that kind of sound. And I know people will probably cringe at that because it's, you know, Nickelback, but I think Nickelback are good, so fuck you.
There's definitely Nickelback influence there, you know, and they say that themselves. But, you know, again, I don't understand the grief that people give Nickelback. You know, I think it's not fair. They're good. They write good music. They rock out. You know, I don't know, understand.
It was the same with Creed years ago.
Yeah.
Obviously, they split up, and now it's cool to like Alter Bridge because it's essentially Creed with a different vocalist, a better vocalist, in my opinion. But now it's like, oh, let's diss Nickelback.
Yeah.
And then, you know, someone else will come out now in the next couple of years, and they'll be the new Nickelback to Sligo. Oh, I think it's stupid. But Stone Broken, absolutely fantastic band. Right.
And then we went on to 1,000 Horses.
Or as you call them on Friday.
1,000 Horses.
1,000 Horses.
But they, I was so looking forward to seeing them. And so it was just awesome to have them over from the States to come and play for us. And, you know, from the very first moment that guy opened his mouth, it was just like the beat of that music and the vocals. I just froze. It was just like incredible. It just really, really resonated with me. So I really enjoyed listening to them. So I can't wait to like catch them again at a headline tour or that kind of thing. So it'd be incredible to see them. And then,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and then we had Girl School. So
we did.
An older girl band. Woman school. I've got mixed feelings on this. It's great to keep in all the different, you know, the bands from across the ages, the old, new, whatever. And so, you know, I'm a big fan of supporting new music. But I don't know, Girl School just... they weren't bad. it was good.
What a diplomatic...
it was very trying to be diplomatic. Wasn't really my cup of tea.
No, I like kind of the style that they kind of have, but I don't know if there was I don't know if there was a sound issue there, but it just seemed to be part of it seemed to be forced.
Yeah.
You know, I think you mentioned on the night, you know, when they were at the front doing the old choreographed
headbang. Yeah, it just
looked completely staged, like we were watching a musical.
Yeah, and I don't like that. I like to see music. I like to see a musician lose themselves in their music. And like, if they want to throw their hair around or they want to headbang, you know, you go do that because that's kind of what you're into. I don't want to see people lined up in a line and at the exact same moment all flicking their hair about. That winds me up. Because I'm like, you're not feeling your own music. And if you're not feeling your own music and you're not convinced by it, why should I as someone who's watching?
Yeah. It kind of like I was just saying before, it's almost like they're going through the motions.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is the part of the song where we do the hair flick.
Yeah.
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 Okay. You kind of become a parody of yourself a little bit then, I mean. but you know, they weren't bad. Like you say, they weren't bad. It's just, the problem is when you've got a festival like this with so many talented bands, is you get spoilt.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, I went on Thursday, I saw 4 amazing bands. So I'm comparing everything on Friday to like, oh, they weren't as good as Pax the Heat, or they weren't as good as Mojo Sinners. You know, and yeah, Gil School, inoffensive. I would check them out again. I don't think I would go out of my way to see them, but I certainly would listen to their music on record or whatever. And if they were supporting somebody else, I'd stand there and watch and, you know, and hopefully enjoy it. But yeah. In that setting, I wasn't fussed. Sorry, girls. I wasn't fussed.
Wasn't good. But no. They were on, I say, towards the end of the day. And then we ended up with the Dead Daisies, who I was so excited to see. And they just blew me away. Again, a great live band. They've got so much energy. They, you know, you can see they have passion for what they're doing. And they sound great. They released their new album this year. Another phenomenal album, which has a cover on it with Fortunate Son, which I adore. It's probably one of the best songs on the album. And it's,
all right.
It's a great song anyway. But, you know, it's just, I was so looking forward to seeing them. However, here we go. I was a bit disappointed with them, actually, on that Friday night. They seemed to do a lot of covers, and they never seemed to play more than 30 seconds of each song. And it was just like every time you started feeling the music and getting with it, they'd stop and then they would start with something else. And I'm not sure what they were doing, but why do that? You know, they write great music. They have fantastic songs out. You know, okay, you want to do your cover, play your Fortunate Son that you've got out on your album, you know, but, but like, what?
No, let's play 30 seconds of Highway to Hell.
Yeah, and it was just like, okay, maybe they're just trying to have fun with the crowd or whatever, but for me, that wasn't fun. That was annoying. You know,
I was disappointed because I've seen, like, you and, you know, and a load of other people tweeting about, you know, oh, Dead Daisies, and I think they did an acoustic set or something with Planet Rock a few days before, and, you know, there was a lot of buzz about that, and it was like, yeah, Dead Daisies, great. And I was really looking forward to it. And then I think I said at the time, when Highway to Hell came on, I was like, oh, they've run out of songs. They're doing covers. And then it stopped. And we were like, ah, what happened? And then I think they played, I don't remember, was it a Judas Priest song? But again, like, let's play the chorus or the main riff, you know, the memorable bit. And they stopped. And I think if they had done like a medley of, say, five or six songs that just went into each other without stopping, I probably would have said, what's the point of that? But I would have got it. I didn't see the point of a band with that many talented musicians. And as you say, they've got their own, you know, fantastic songs. I didn't see the point of them just trying to, like, almost kind of like, we've lost the crowd. Shit, let's play some, oh, just throw in an AC/DC riff. Oh, okay, let's do this. It just seemed to be like real cheap way of getting.
Yeah, it didn't work.
You know, crowd, like, I was disappointed. And I know a lot of people have come out of it going, oh, Dead Daisies were awesome. Oh, yeah. Ah, not for me, man. I wasn't fussed at all. Yeah. And again, going back to the same thing with Girl School, I check them out, listen to the records, go and see them again. But, you know, wasn't enamored at all.
No.
And it's a shame because Doug Aldridge is great. Mm. I saw him with Whitesnake a couple of years ago now. And fucking awesome guitarist. Like, but nah, didn't do it for me. Didn't do it for me on the night, unfortunately.
No, it's a shame. Now we've completely moaned about Friday. And then on to
Friday
Saturday.
Was an amazing day. As
it
well.
Was
good. That's the sad thing. It was a great day.
It was a great day. And then on to Saturday.
Saturday.
And there were some bands that we had to go and see on Saturday, on stage two, bands that we hadn't seen before, a lot of them as well. So we saw a band called Under a Banner.
Who were very good. Again, very traffic good. Issues meant that I came late.
Yes.
But I caught the end of their set, three or four songs.
Yeah. But interesting band. So they're kind of like, let me try and explain. Alternative, hard, rock,
folk
metal. There's quite a few tags you could put them under, but overall,
they kind of tag themselves a bit like that.
They
as well,
do,
don't they?
And the sound.
Okay.
But I wrote a review for them this week, and I've commented in the review that I thought they sounded quite piratey.
That's right. We got in and we were listening to one of their songs, and I was like, this sounds like because they had an acoustic guitar going and. I was like, this sounds like on the verge of like Viking metal. But there's a Scottish band called Ailstorm who essentially just sing about pirates. And it reminded me of like a really stripped down version of them. I was like, do I like this? Yes, I do. I thought they were great. I didn't know what to expect with them, and I was just like, this should be harder than what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but it had this. I don't know. It's hard to tag them. They must individually listen to a lot of different music,
mm-hmm.
and kind of have a melting pot, and then kind of this comes out.
Like, it works though, because it made it. Folk. It did, and it made it. They stood out for me because they didn't sound like anyone else, and I like that. And like we've said before, you know, there's a lot of bands out, and it gets a bit samey, and so it was nice to go in. Yeah, it was nice to hear something different, but as well, they're very, very clever lyricists. There's a big anti-establishment message through everything that they talk about, which is interesting. If you like that kind of thing, you can kind of get behind it. So they're very passionate about what they do, and very, very talented with how they write. So they were interesting. I liked them.
Yeah, I did as well. I would certainly check them out again. And is it Adam, the singer?
Yes,
Andy?
Adam. Yeah.
Singing with the last remains of a chest cold.
Yes.
Didn't show. I thought he
did,
you know,
a great job.
That's what he's like with a cold. Love to hear him at 100%.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good. And yeah, I really enjoyed them. Really enjoyed them.
So they were good. Then we went on and saw the Dust Coda, a band I'd not heard of. I didn't know anything about them before.
Yeah.
I was impressed with them. I like their they rocked. They have the bluesy thing going on. I like blues. I hear a lot of people moan about blues, and especially if it's quite slow, and you know, I like that. And I like them. You know, there was a few things I would change or I would alter. Over enthusiastic frontman, which is
I mean, we spoke about this at the time, and they're a band I didn't hear, I'd never heard of, and we kind of said singer's trying a bit too hard. And I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. I couldn't really hear him.
Mm.
And I think he was fighting against sound problems. And I thought all weekend the sound on stage two was probably better than the main stage overall.
Yep.
But I was struggling to hear him. And I was, you know, down the front, And you could see in his face, he was putting the effort in. His face was going red. It was going purple. He was giving it some. But I couldn't hear him. And what I could hear, I was just kind of like, I really like the band, but I'm disappointed with the singer. And then I thought, actually, that's not really fair, because I think he's probably better than that performance. And I say, I think it was the sound. Mentioned Broken Whit Rebels guitarist James earlier as being one of the guys that kind of stood out for me. I think it's Adam who plays for the Dust Coda. I was right in front of him. Again, another guitarist. I was really impressed. You know, and he's not necessarily a flashy player, like say Doug Aldrich would be, with Dead Daisies or anything like that. But it's just, again, serving the song well, playing the right notes at the right time. And yeah, just kind of watching him, he really feels the solos, really emotional solos, really melodic solos. And yeah, he was another guitarist that weekend that I just thought, fucking yeah, you're good, man. You're cool. And so I think overall I liked them, but I think I would need to see them again with possibly a more clearer sound on the vocal, because I couldn't hear him. I mean, he was straining, and I think it kind of affected the overall opinion I had at the time.
Yeah, so definitely a band to look out for, and one for us to go catch at another time, which would be interesting to do. So that was good. And then after them were our boys, who we were very excited to see. Their first time to the UK on their tour, and Planet Rockstock was their final gig for them before returning to the States, and that's Idol War.
The mighty Idol War.
Now, this band are absolutely cracking. From the
awesome.
First time that I heard them, I've been a fan. I love what they do. It sounds different. They're really talented guys. Really, really talented guys. So
for anybody that doesn't know, Idol War are a three-piece band. They've just released their debut album, Impulse, which is incredible. They're from California, but they don't sound like your Californian Beach Boys, power punk, Sublime bands. They sound like they come from the swamps of Louisiana. It's very Clutch influenced. There's some really fucking heavy groove going on. It's just, and some of like really sludgy riffs. It's just, and when they come together live, you just get lost in this kind of swirling, hypnotic groove, just constant groove. And they blew through, what, six or seven songs. They were awesome. first time I seen them live, I'd obviously heard the record. I reviewed the record. I thought it was great. You need to check this band out if you've never heard of them.
Totally agree. They are amazing. Yeah, they really are. And we were lucky enough to be able to catch up with them afterwards.
We did. Several chats with them.
Several chats. So we have an interview which we can play for you now. So we were talking with James Blake, who's the lead singer, Pete Pagonis, who plays the drums, and Rick Graham, who's on the guitar. Check the interview out and see what you think. I'm here with David, interviewing Ardour. We have Rick, James and Pete with us, fresh off the stage at Planet Rockstock. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Heya.
So I saw you the other week in London at the Black Heart, and seeing you here for the second time, you sounded absolutely incredible. How did you feel it all went?
I think it went very quickly, but we had a really great time. So it was a different experience than some of the shows on tour. We got a little more time to set up. This one, we just ran on stage, turned on our stuff, and just started rocking out. So I'm very happy with how it went, considering.
The sound was incredible tonight, and I think, even though it sounded great in London as well, the sound was so different with the venues and things, so it's felt like a new experience, even though it was like, you know, I've heard the songs the other week as well, so that was great.
Yeah, the sound changes from venue to venue, and we've had to make modifications and make sure that we're ready for, you know, hearing different things, and it's become a topic of conversation, sometimes pleasant, sometimes not so pleasant, but we've learned how to kind of push through our set and try to express ourselves as best as we can.
Absolutely awesome. And this is the last gig for you now of your UK tour, and sadly you're going to all have to go home, which makes me very upset. So are you coming back?
We would love to come back. The discussions about a return trip are kind of hinging on what support comes up, you know, in light of the tour and us playing here at Planet Rockstock. So if we can get more radio play and drum up some more support, we might be able to book some more gigs, maybe some festival shows, and come back. I would like to come back by June, but that's what we've heard. People say don't wait too long, so we'd like to get back as soon as possible.
I think, you know, I think you've been gathering fans quite quickly along the way, the things we've been reading on social media and stuff, so that's been awesome. So I think there's a lot of people that would like to see you back really, really soon.
Yeah, so, we're very excited. A lot of really good response. I've been taking polls at the shows, and there are a lot of people that have never even heard us before, and they've all been responding very nicely.
I think it helps that you put on a great show. So I only heard of you, what, a month or so ago? Naomi bigging you up. Checked you out, reviewed the album, great. First time at Rockstock seeing you live. Awesome.
Thank you.
So I think you probably won over a few people that didn't know about you already.
And yeah, we're hoping so.
Just trying to say build up that momentum on social media, isn't it? Just keep people interested.
Well, it was hard at first. We spent a year corresponding online with people in the UK, and they've responded so well to the music in the recorded format. There were a few comments that referred to, well, let's hope they live up to it live. And so there was a bit of pressure.
No pressure.
I don't think they were salacious comments. They were just little comments that, you know, a bit of pressure to come out. And what do you do on stage? What do they expect to see? Do you jump around? Do you, you know? And we just, look, let's just be us. Let's go do what we do and put the music out there, and we'll see how people respond. And they've been very, very kind.
I think it's been great. And your new album, Impulse, which came out a couple of months ago, has gone down really, really well. So you've got Planet Rock already playing some of your songs on there, and that's been taken really well. And I think you've picked new fans up from there as well, so that's been good. So you enjoy playing the new songs to people?
Yeah. The songs that we had to pick for Planet Rockstock, it was difficult to, you know, choose, because so many people respond to so many of the songs. We didn't want to cut things out of the set, but we had to cut it down to things that were probably the highest energy and kind of hit the most people.
And it's also why we don't do a cover song, because we wanted to be able to play as much of our original material, as opposed to, you know, it's very popular to do a cover song to sort of bring something familiar to the crowd, but we thought we really want to play as much of our music as we can, since it's a support slot, and this set at Planet Rockstock is even shorter. And on the note about coming back, really the goal for us is to try to get, as he was saying, a festival date, and then sort of book, you know, smaller dates around that, so it really gives us a reason to sort of have a foundation, and then off of that, you know, make it worth our while, because it is quite a commitment for us financially and time-wise to come out here and do this. But we feel so fortunate that there's so much passion for both old and new rock music, because we don't have that, especially for up-and-coming bands back home where we live in California.
That's a very new experience for you then, to experience the way that we are over here with new bands?
Yeah, I mean, it you know, it's sort of a calling back to, you know, when rock was more popular all over the world, back in the day of when Maiden was coming up or whatever, it was like rock was everywhere. And but now it's in America specifically, unless you're an established rock band, it's really hard to just even try to do just a tri-state area tour. It's quite difficult. And as he was saying, our response over the internet came so strongly from the UK and Wales and Ireland that we just thought, well, we have to go to where the spark is, you know, and hopefully create the fire there, so to speak, and have it spread out. So we wish it wasn't so far. We wish it wasn't so cold. But we couldn't have asked for lovelier people. I mean, you guys have all been so amazing, you know. I mean, that's half of the experience is, you know, there's the music, but then there's also getting to meet you all that makes it so great, you know.
So for you, so we talk to a lot of bands about social media and just the internet in general, and how some of them say it's killing their music and they find it really difficult financially as well, I think, with, you know, downloads and sharing and that kind of thing. But for you, is that working for you? I mean, is that what's got you over here? And
yeah, I do. I mean, that's a whole other big conversation in terms of, like, is it detrimental with the pirating and the downloading and the freebies? And I think everybody kind of knows at this point that the music industry is that the music promotes the product, and the product is playing live and selling merch. That's sort of the simplified equation, you know. So at this point, there's not an expectation that we're going to really sell a bunch digitally or whatever. I mean, we hope to, of course, because we need to pay for the recordings and travel some way, but I think in the end it does help. I think the bigger problem is that because everyone has access to it, everyone in their bedroom and everyone in a big studio, is that it crowds all the portals. And so getting yourself to stick out through that mass is very difficult, because cream does rise to the top, but it makes it really more difficult to get through there.
Yeah. We're trying to make the best out of the use of technology and the internet. There's things we can't avoid, but we're doing our best, and none of us are super techies, and we don't have that machine in place, but we're filling the gaps where we can and getting out there. Pete's done a lot of work on Twitter to correspond with fans and meet
we've
people.
Done all our own videos, like no outside sources. I mean, we have a friend here and there, but all the editing and all that has all been sort of within our trinity here. So I mean, we're just trying to be as cost effective and efficient as we can, you know. It's not easy.
So looking at the tour that you've done now, you've played lots of different venues. The one that I saw you at in London is quite a tiny venue, very hot, sticky, sweaty venue. And then, so how does that compare for you coming over here doing a really tiny venue to play in, where you've just played now to a room full of, you know, rock fans?
It's exhilarating to play in front of a lot of people that will respond to your music, and you can feed off of that energy. In a big room, sometimes for me, it feels like there's too much space, and I feel a little disconnected. I think at the Blackheart in Camden, where people were right there in your face and they were stealing pics from my feet as we were playing, it was, I mean, I like making eye contact and being right in their face. That's more my style. And So I enjoyed that venue from that perspective. So there's good things to both situations, but me personally, I like that hot, sticky, sweet rock and roll club atmosphere.
I want to get so popular that we play to the really big audiences, and then we can be that band that goes, yeah, man, we want to bring it back down to the club and see the people, you know?
Yeah,
but I want to go up first.
Yeah. But for the record, I'm still enjoying the little club.
I want to pick the fruit from that top.
It's so tasty.
Have you had a favorite venue played at or a highlight from this tour in the UK?
Actually, the Camden, or at the Blackheart in Camden, we really liked that one a lot, that small, sticky club we were talking about. That was great being so close to the fans, like James was saying. They were all really good. They all had their own personality. Bannerman's in Scotland with the really old building and that old room that's over 200 years old. And then here, too, with the bigger crowd, it's everything had its positive vibe, so to speak, to it. And we loved it all, really. And the people at every location, we couldn't ask for better people.
I can't pick one. We're at Planet Rockstock, so I'm going to say this was amazing. Manchester kind of caught me off guard. It was so good. Yeah. Like, the club didn't have, like, the old world vibe that, like, Camden did or Edinburgh, but the people there, I just felt it. Like, I really felt that energy. For me, that was a big show for us. Yeah, I'd love to go back to Rebellion at Manchester, or just Manchester.
I agree with Pete. Manchester hit me in the face. I think we were feeling the last show of our tour in common with Florence Black and Stone Broken. And I don't know if that fed into the energy, but technically it was a really great place. I heard everything. I think the stars just aligned at that show. So it was a great high for me. And it's a cool place. It's not, you know, historically maybe got the same vibe as Bannerman's or the Clooney or... But it was still just a really great show, a good place to play.
So you're going to miss the UK when you go back?
I'm already tearing up just to ask.
It'll
be good.
So what's next for Idle War?
Well, we started writing new material for the second record. We'd sort of worked a few months before coming out on new material, and then we sort of stopped that process to work on the set for UK. So we're really excited already about material for the second record.
We had to stop because we were getting into the songs so much. We had to just cut it off and go back to the set. So we're really excited about the new material.
So that's what we'll do. We'll go back and try to get enough material for a second record and go right back into the studio probably in the spring for hopefully another summer release.
Okay, guys, so thank you very much for talking to us. And so, you know, you've got all of our support. We can't wait to see what else comes up, and we'll promote that as much as we can, everyone.
Definitely.
So,
yes.
Good. Anything else, David, you want to ask? Anything else you guys want to add?
David forgot to mention how good looking we all are.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I'm in the company of some very sexy beers.
Sex, pure sex.
So, thanks, guys. Safe trip home, and we shall hopefully see you again next year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, thank you.
So, that was the interview.
And you can see I said nothing.
Because I don't let you get a word in edgeways.
You don't let me get in. No, it was good. But it was a good chat. They're good guys. And that interview doesn't really touch on like how much we spoke to them. We called them just after the gig. We obviously, you know, had the interview, and then we caught up with them then in the night to see some of the other bands we'll mention shortly. And you just chatted to Rick and James and Pete, and they're really lovely guys, and they're really humbled, I think, by the support of the fans and people like us and the guys at Planet Rock. They're just really great, and I was kind of having a lot of music geek talk with them about their album and about their plans for the spring. I think that, you know, they've headed back to the States now. They're going to work on, I think they'll probably get a bit of time off, and then they're going to work on the second album, which I think is just going to be more of the same from Impulse, but with some embellishments. And then they're hoping to come back then and do a tour, maybe the festival scene or something around that. So I would recommend checking those guys out if you can catch them live.
Definitely.
And obviously check out Impulse as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Phenomenal album. Great guys. They're great to hang out with when we had drinks with them as well. So that was just nice just to chat with them about their lives and all the background, obviously, around Idlewild and things and how it came about. So it's interesting, really interesting. So I can't wait for them to come back to the UK so we can go and catch them again.
Absolutely. Yeah, fantastic guys.
Then we're going to the main stage.
Yep.
That night. And we start off with the Amorettes.
Yes.
So a girl band. Yep, girl band, Scotland.
That's right, they're from Scotland. I forgot about that. Don't know why that's important, but there we are. they were good. I thought they were pretty good. We'd seen Girl School the night before. You know, had our opinion on that. And I kind of didn't know. I mean, I'd heard some of the Amorettes' new songs a couple of months ago. I kind of knew what to expect, but kind of didn't at the same time. And I think my expectations, I think, were lower because of Girls' School, which is bad. But, yeah, I thought they were good. I thought they were pretty good.
They're good. And I think, for me, I've always struggled with female vocalists. I just, I don't know why. It's, I suppose, just personal preference.
Jealousy,
obviously. I don't get on with them. I think I like a very gravelly tone in my voice. I like very deep voices and things when I'm listening to really heavy rock music. And for me, therefore, girls have never really, you know, hit that. So people like Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm, I love listening to all of that kind of stuff. But it's few and far between the female vocalists that I like. Yet there are some great, amazing girl-based bands coming out at the moment. And these girls rock. And, you know, their vocals are gravelly. And, you know, and the power that they have is just phenomenal. So I think I'm kind of changing my mind now about, you know, what I listen to. So the Amorettes, the passion in that girl's voice is just phenomenal. So
it's almost like going back to the 70s, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Like Chrissy Hynde and Stevie Nicks, you know, I love Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks, and you're kind of now getting back to the likes of Lizzie Hale, who probably grew up a little bit listening to those.
Yeah.
70s, you know, Heart and all that. And now it's coming around where people like the Amorettes and Tequila Mockingbird, you know, are coming out and, you know, they're influenced by those women, you know, as well as other, you know, male vocalists as well. And they're bringing that kind of 70s sound, if you like, back. It's great.
Awesome. Okay, you think back what rock music was like back then, in, you know, through the 70s and the 80s and things.
I wasn't born then.
Wasn't born. You have heard it, though.
if it exists before 1983, it's dead to me. No, absolutely, yes.
But no,
I'm aware of music before I was born.
Okay. It's a great thing to bring back because the sounds from that age are just, you know, some of them are just timeless, and it's just, it's awesome that there are now new bands coming out and, you know, recreating that sound. And it's exciting for me because I've spent a lot of my life moaning I was born too late and I missed out on all the greatest bands and all of that. So it's kind of like now that there are new bands coming out that sound the same, it's like, I'm so excited for that. There definitely is a revival going on with rock at the moment, especially in the UK.
Absolutely. And one thing I did notice, I was talking, funny enough, to Rick from Idlewild about it. We were saying about like how they stood out because they do have this kind of southern rock, like I say, sludgy blues kind of sound to them. A lot of the bands at Rockstock, and then there's a couple, you know, that do stand out, like Idlewild, Lazuli, you know, instantly come to mind because they're completely different. But there's a lot of, like, what I would consider, you know, classic rock sounds. So you do end up getting that kind of almost samey quality, which then makes a band like Lazuli, Idlewild, you know, whoever else, kind of stand out a little bit, because it's like, oh, you're not playing that that kind of 70s sound. You're, ooh, what's this?
Yeah.
You know? So when you get bands like the Amorettes, you know, they stand out immediately. Yeah, they were. I was really impressed, actually. The more I think about it, like, yeah, I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, great band. And they were closely followed up by the Raven Age. Now, another band I hadn't seen live, so it was the first one for me. But I remember you and I, we stood at the bar waiting for ages to get served.
That doesn't sound like you and I.
Doesn't sound like us. Waiting for beer again. But we.
Half water, please.
I just remember when they started playing on that main stage, you and I just stopped talking, which is a rarity. Like,
I know.
No one stops us talking, ever.
Oh, dearie.
But we did. We stopped talking. We turned around and they had our attention. And the beats that they start pumping out were that they grab you. They really grab you.
It was kind of like a mixture of, like, I don't know, almost Nine Inch Nails, Depeche Mode, in a way. Papa Roach, Linkin Park.
Yes.
You know, and we talk about bands that are different.
Yeah.
Like, they are not your kind of classic rock, you know, band. They are hard rock with industrial tone, I think. But, yeah, it was, and again, they stood out because it was different. Mm. I think if, you know, another band had come on and just kind of blazed through their set, I don't think we would have, you know, we would have paid attention because that's what we're there for. But I don't think they would have stopped us in our tracks.
No.
Like, they just came on, the bass was kicking it. I'm just like, what the fuck is that?
I remember you and I stopped because we were talking about the drumming, and it was just, it was, I don't know, it was so soulful and rhythmic, and it wasn't all like...
Tribal.
Yeah, it was tribal. It had that kind of hypnotic effect going to it, which proper, like, got it. Then there was no cymbals crashing or anything. It was just the proper bass drum and the kick drum going, and it was just... It did. It grabbed us. It stopped us in our tracks. And for you and I, that's got to be something.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, we're not music snobs by any means. You know, we listen to a lot of music, and I certainly wouldn't sit there and go, "Nah, you have to grab my attention 2 seconds, or I'm not going to listen." You know, but they, and I think because it's a festival and you're listening to a lot of bands, in some respects, you get ear fatigue. You know, and it's like, it's more music, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love music. But they were just so different to anything that had come before that, yeah, it just kind of stopped me. And I was just like, who are you? Hello. But yeah, no, I thought they were really good. And then once we got acclimatized to what they were offering, it was back to the chatter.
Definitely. But no, they're a band I'm going to keep my eye out for. I want to catch them when they tour. It's definitely a band I need to go and see headline somewhere.
Can I come with you?
Only if you behave, which is never going to happen. So no, see you later.
Later, suckers.
Also on stage that night, we had the awesome and incredible Whiskey Myers. Is this a band you've seen before?
Nope.
No, and for me, it was a band that I
based on this podcast, I've never seen any band before.
I know, where have you been? Oh, Wales.
I'm not allowed over the bridge, but...
I tried to see Whiskey Myers at a festival in the summer, but the tent that they were playing in was so packed, I couldn't get anywhere near it. So I came very close, but I didn't actually get to see them. So I was really excited to catch up with them at Rockstock. Incredible band. I really, really like them. And I went straight over and bought the vinyl while I was there. They are, they just have a great sound about them. Incredible.
They do. And I think they're touring again next year.
Yes.
So I'm going to catch them on tour again.
Yeah, we will.
I thought they were great.
Yeah.
I thought they were really good. They got a really good sound about them. And they're from Texas.
I don't think
they are. When we find out they're from, like, bloody... Dudley or something.
Probably.
But we're Whiskey Myers. Isn't we're playing Rockstock.
Wasn't 1,000 Horses from Texas, weren't they?
1,000 Horses, I think they were, yes.
I'm going to have to find out now where Whiskey Myers are from, because otherwise it's going to drive me nuts.
Power of video editing.
I know. I'm going to zoom in and find out where they're from. They are from Texas. Oh my God, you're right.
They're from Palestine.
I don't know who that was. But again, incredible band. Cody doing the lead vocals in that band. Amazing. His voice is just, it's like honey. It's like absolute honey.
Thankfully, my voice is more like caramel, so don't have to compete with him.
But no, I like them. They're good guys. Really, really good guys. So definitely catch them next year. Yeah, and that with their new album Mud that came out this year, so that's a great one to get hold of. So go and check that out. And then Sunday, the last day that we were there?
Well, we should say that there was British Lion headlining Saturday.
Okay, yeah.
Now, we didn't see all of British Lion, but I was not impressed. And I liked their debut album, mm-hmm. and Steve Harris obviously is Iron Maiden legend.
Yeah.
But I've heard a couple of people come out of the gig going, sound was a bit shit.
Yeah.
So,
it was all right. It was just
a bit like, it's all a bit muddy.
Yeah.
And I kind of think, I wonder if it was muddy because it's Steve Harris and because he's the bass player, everybody's like, oh shit, he's Iron Maiden, let's turn him up because it's Steve Harris, he's the god. You know, and then all you get is fart bass, as I like to call it. Yeah, one first, as I left early, I was like, fuck this noise, I'm out.
Yeah, not good.
It was like an episode of Dragon's Den.
Okay, so we didn't like them.
No. So. I don't know why I had to get that in. There's no need for negativity, but...
Such a negative person. So, can we move on to Sunday now? Anyone else you want to moan about before I move on to Sunday?
Hang on. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, okay. Sunday.
Sunday.
We both got there late.
We did.
But we got there in plenty of time to see Tequila Mockingbird.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
Fucking awesome. You talk about female vocalists and power and all that. Fuck me. They were awesome. Power trio.
Absolutely. Power trio.
I think, were they Australian?
From Australia, yeah. One of the girls, the drummer, she's actually from this country, but she moved out to Australia and now she's come back. But again, three of them, the sound, the power, the volume is just phenomenal. Estelle's voice is just, she's gravelly. They growl through their lyrics. They have that punky edge to them. It's just incredible. Really incredible.
Absolutely. They were great. First time again, surprise, surprise, that I've seen them. Incredible. Absolutely incredible women and really good songs.
Yeah.
Massive hair. fucking fantastic band. Check them out.
Yeah, their new album's incredible. The single that they came out with, I Smell Rock and Roll, that's just such an amazing, amazing single. So yeah. They do really, really well with that. So I think they're going to go places.
Hard rock.
Yeah. I mean, they've just landed in the UK. They've moved. They're going to plant themselves here. And they've just been touring ever since. And, you know, people love them. So.
And rightly so. Rightly so. Fantastic. They blew through the set. The amount of people there watching it.
Yeah. It was heaving that day. It was absolutely...
It was. Going back to Saturday, when I got there for Under a Banner and Dust Coda, there were people there, but it wasn't rammed. And actually, probably props to Idle War. They got a lot of people coming in and watching them. But Sunday, shit, man, it was rammed.
Yeah.
Oh, and obviously people want to see these bands.
Yeah.
Because they've been drinking and partying for so many days. There were some people that I saw... previous couple of days that I hadn't seen on the Sunday at all because they were just in hibernation from the weekend. But yeah, Tequila Mockingbird, they pulled in the crowd and they gave them everything and more. I was thoroughly impressed with those. I thought they were fantastic.
Yeah, really, really good.
Fantastic.
And then after Tequila Mockingbird, who did we see?
Simo. I thought they were quite self-indulgent. The crowd loved them.
Yeah.
But they kind of got to the point where it was like they're playing a song and they just had these extended jams on the end of their songs. Don't get me wrong, I love all that. It's great. But I just thought they were... I wasn't feeling it, you know? It wasn't... You know, like Lazuli on Thursday were doing extended jams. Mojo Sinners were. A couple of other bands throughout the weekend, they're having these extended jams. And you're like, yeah, you're feeling like everything is just hitting you, like. Hitting you in the feels. Simo were just playing for the sake of playing, and I was kind of like, they finished their set. I was like, did they only do like two songs? Like, it just completely washed over me, and I wasn't ignoring them. They're clearly a good band, you know. I don't want to slack them off. They can play. Just didn't grab me. Didn't grab me at all. I mean, I would check them out again, and you know, just kind of show myself to be an idiot for kind of not appreciating them, maybe. But I wasn't that fussed on them. sorry, boys.
No, it did. I agree. It did go on a bit, and you start thinking, come on, when's it going to end? And it's just like, it was too much. But whether that was because, I don't know, we just weren't feeling it that day.
We just seen Tequila Mockingbird, though, fucking crush it, so...
Yeah, that's a hard one to follow, so...
They were good for what they were doing, but as I say, I think had I seen them earlier in the day or a couple of days before, I think I would have been like, yeah, these are sweet. But for whatever reason, at that moment in time, it just didn't do it.
No.
But I would check them out anyway because, you know, check them out. Because you should.
And yeah, and we're not always right, you know. It's just our opinion at the end of the day. Other people may listen and they may love it, so.
But as you know, our opinion is fact, so it's
fine. Obviously.
Obviously.
And then we go on to
main stage,
last evening, main stage. Quite a few bands on.
Colour of Noise getting a lot of praise.
Yeah, Colour of Noise are an amazing UK band. I really recommend you go check them out. They've just got an incredible sound to them. They're phenomenal. I saw them for the first time in the summer, and I can't stop listening to them now. Every song that they bring out, it's really catchy. They're fun. Cool. Yeah, so they're a great band to go see.
Awesome.
So we like them. And then I got to see Inglorious again.
Yeah, disappointed, if I'm honest.
Really?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, tell me why.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of things. Like if you follow Planet Rock on Twitter, you'll see a lot of retweets about certain bands. So a lot of bands that were playing that weekend, I've seen them generate buzz through Planet Rock. So Inglorious were a name that inevitably comes up on my feed all the time. And I didn't know Nathan James, but I kind of knew of him from a few years ago. I think he went through X Factor.
The Voice.
It was in The Voice, wasn't
it? The Voice, yeah.
Some old shit on TV, anyway. but, you know, you can see, like, this guy's, you know, he's talented. Like, he's got The Voice or The X Factor, whatever. You know, and obviously he's not worthy of TV controversy, so we'll just dump him off and put some old shit through. He's a good voice, so, you know, when I just kind of seen him kind of like, oh, I'm doing this band, I'm doing it, I was like, oh, okay, I'll follow this guy. But I'd never seen them live, and he's a really good vocalist, and they're a good band. And then when they came out, I was like, sweet, let's do this thing. And he's doing his, you know, fucking David Coverdale, like, you know, whatever. And yeah, I love all that shit, so it's all fine. And then they played some songs, and then I think there was a Whitesnake cover in there somewhere, and I think they did a Rainbow cover, you know, and great. Like, I love listening to these songs. But I'm not here to see a cover band. Like, if you're a band that's just released like a 5 or 6 song EP and you're having to play maybe 8 to 10 songs, of course you're going to throw in a cover. I get that. I want to see Inglorious play Inglorious.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
I don't care that they can play those songs perfectly. Great. And people were loving it because they know the songs. And it's a bit like the Dead Daisies from the other night as well, where it's like, oh, it's Highway to Hell. Oh, I know this one. Ah, you know, and I just thought it cheapened it for me a little bit. It's like... fucking put your money in a jukebox and like, oh, I want to listen to this song.
But I guess with bands coming into festival slots, you know, they've got a limited amount of time to make an impact. So do they go with their own music and then blow you away with the fact they're great songwriters, they, you know, they play their instruments well, or do they go with trying to win you over by playing the things that you know and proving that they're good at what they do, you know?
I mean, it's a good argument. It's a balancing act, isn't it? I mean, you know, if they open with The Who and that's on their album, or that's, you know, they've released a cover of it, makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to know that they can write good songs. So when they play a song, I might not have heard of it, but I go, that was good. What I don't want is to sit through a cover set. Oh, Inglorious, I saw them at Rockstar. They were great. Let's buy their album. And I'm listening to 12 songs of absolute shit.
Yeah.
So it was very bittersweet for me, their set. Like I say, they're a talented band. I'm not ragging on them at all.
You can't fault them musically.
I was just disappointed that they peppered their set with so many covers. And they did them well. They really did. But I was just kind of like, I want to hear more of your stuff rather than, you know, stuff that I can just throw on anytime and listen, you know?
Yeah.
So, but they're a good band, and if you've never heard of them, then you should.
You definitely should, because they're growing magnificently, and they've been out touring with Steel Panther through Europe. They've been doing festivals all through Europe. I don't think it's going to be long before they go further afield. They're talented guys. They're going to go far.
They are, and they've got that kind of like almost American kind of, you say they tore them with Steel Panther, they've got that kind of like hair metal-y.
Yeah, they do.
But you know, like I say, he's a great vocalist and they're a really talented band. I was just, I didn't want to see them play, and I love the covers, yeah. You know, but I was just like,
yeah, it's kind of show
your
me
your own songs.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think that's a valid point.
It's kind of, yeah, I enjoyed them, but I was also disappointed in a weird way.
And then I think the end came quite quickly, which was sad. But it was also good because headlining this Sunday night and closing Rockstock down was Blackstone Cherry. They are incredible, incredible band. I've followed the band since they first started, been to so many of their gigs, bought all of their albums, and for me, they just get better and better. They're almost faultless. They are so good at what they do. And I think, again, for me, I love the humility that they have and that they bring through into their music. And they're so... Everything they do is so emotive, and you know, you don't even have to ask. You can see it in them. They are so appreciative of their fans that keep them on that stage, and they give back continuously. And that's not something that many bands do a lot of the time.
No, I think when they were introduced onto the stage, I think it was Paul Anthony was doing it, and he was kind of saying like, you know, this is a big band. They've come from here and gone up to here. But actually, they're coming back to where it all started. And I think that kind of ties in with what you just said. They're so humble and appreciative of where they have come from that, you know, they're not too big to be like, we're not headlining this festival. And I thought they were great. You know, and they were one of these bands. I saw Alter Bridge the other day as well, and I think they're a massive band.
Yeah.
And I guess because Creed had all that success, technically three quarters of Alter Bridge are successful. But I see them as a massive band. But they're not. And it's really weird to get my head around that. And I think the same with Blackstone Cherry. I think they're a massive band, but actually they're not, you know? And
well, it's one
in
of those...
the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
But they were fucking awesome. And the crowd loved it.
But that's the thing. Blackstone Cherry are huge in the UK, aren't they? And they, you know, they sell out gig after gig after gig. And yet when you talk to some people and they go, but you know what? Back home, they're not that big. And that, you know, I keep hearing that from people and saying, you know, they'll play venues that've got like maximum capacity of 1,000 people. And that just blows my mind because over here, like, you know, for them to like, they played Rockstock, it's like 1,500 people.
Yeah.
That's tiny for them over here. And you feel lucky to be part of that intimate setting. But it just blows my mind that they're not bigger back at home.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, I mean, America obviously is huge. And, you know, you could be a massive star in America and still not even have cracked.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it kind of, the circles you travel in, if you're friends with a load of people that like Blackstone Cherry and if you're on social media and you're seeing a lot of stuff shared and whatnot, I think it's easy to get lost in the whole like, oh my God, they're amazing. They must have sold 100 million copies of their album. And you're like, how many have you sold? How many thousand? What?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I thought they were great. The guitarist just throwing himself around like a crazy loon.
The energy is phenomenal.
Yeah, energy to burn. And it didn't miss a beat.
No.
Didn't miss a beat. They were on it, like proper, you know, professional.
Yeah.
Just class act. They were great. And again, for anybody that has never checked them out or, you know, like on the fence, check them out, man. They've got some good songs. And live, they're immense. And definitely a highlight. A highlight for sure.
Really was. And I think for me, they're probably one of the best live bands that I've ever seen. And I see a lot with obviously what we do. But no, they're incredible. They are absolutely incredible. I would follow them to the ends of the earth to keep seeing them live. They are amazing. Really, really great, great band. So, and it still blows my mind that Planet Rock managed to secure them as an act for Rockstock.
But I think that says a lot about Planet Rock as a station and for what they do for bands and new music. And I think that says a lot as well for Blackstone Cherry.
Yeah, no, it does.
You know, like I said, they haven't got to that level where they're like, nah, fuck you, we're not playing this.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you helped us. Yeah, we'll headline for you. And I thought overall, you know, the 4 days was quality, you know, and there's certainly, whilst there's a couple of negatives in there, because there's always going to be, you know. I mean, I think me and you are quite open to, yeah, to music, and yeah, we certainly listen to a lot of different styles, and that helps then kind of break down certain bands, because you can go, I didn't like this, but I appreciate this. And I thought there was a load more positivity than the negativity in the band. I thought it was a fantastic festival lineup, and the odd blip along the way, but on another day, Girl School might have been awesome,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's certainly not, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, they go up there, they put their heart and soul into their songs, into their playing, you know. I don't want to slag them off for that, because it takes a lot of balls to get up on stage and, yeah, and perform and open your heart out to a load of strangers and, yeah, you know, seek their acceptance, you know. So I you know, props to everybody for doing that, anybody, whether they're playing Rockstock or playing, you know, to 10 people in a pub. What a festival. My first Rockstock, absolutely amazing, still buzzing off it now. Yeah. Fantastic experience.
So first Rockstock in the bag. Are we going back next year?
Is the Pope shit in the woods? Allegedly.
So yeah, we'll go back, and obviously loads of other festivals in between now, yeah, and then, which would be great. So for you, David, apart from the obvious fact that the highlight of your weekend was spending all of your time with me.
Yeah, obs.
What was the highlight of your weekend at Rockstock?
I think there was a couple of bands that stood out for me. Broken Wit Rebels,
yep,
Lazuli, Tax the Heat. I thought on Thursday were fantastic. Stonebroken were awesome. I wish someone would tie their fucking guitarist down, though, because he was running around like a crazy...
Chris is crazy when he's on a big stage. I've seen him on tiny stages, and you can see him like... He's almost like he's going to explode because there's no room for him to run around.
Well, early on, he almost ran into... Is it Kieran, the bass player? Kieran,
yeah.
Ran into him. I was just like, stay still, play! But no, like... In all seriousness, like, fucking awesome band. And like I say, Robin is a monster on a drum.
She is.
So yeah, Broken Wit Rebels, Lazuli, Tax the Heat, Stonebroken. I'm gutted I missed a lot of Under a Banner set, because I thought they were great. Would like to see the Dust Coda again, just on a better sound. Idol War, probably, because of the way they sounded, I would probably say Idol War, best band I saw.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I agree with that. I love those guys. And I think as well, it's the same with Stonebroken, I think, as well. It's just they are such lovely, lovely people. Yeah. And it makes you enjoy their music more, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm naming a load of bands that I enjoy. Tequila Mockingbird as well, Blackstone Cherry, Raven Age. But yeah, I think Idol War, because they are different,
yeah,
to a lot of other bands that we'd seen, and they are so approachable, and they're so, you know, they're such lovely guys. Like, yeah, I think they were probably the highlight for me.
Yeah.
And what was your highlight, other than spending time with myself, obviously?
Obviously. Always so much fun hanging about with you.
Oh, just being dicks.
But annoying everyone around us.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, of course. We have fun, though. I think for me, again, Idol War, but that's because I've been following them for months now, and I was so excited to see them live and to meet them. I am a bit of a stalker.
I prefer the term selective walker.
A selective walker, yeah, that's me. But yeah, Idol War, yeah, they got my attention. A Thousand Horses, I just adored. Raven Age got my attention.
Yes,
And, you know, I still want to say Stonebroken, even though I've seen them like a million times. But again, really lovely guys, and they're really talented, and they're starting to really take off now. They're flying. So they're about to go on a European tour next year. So it's difficult to pick a highlight.
Well, that's it. I mean, we've just kind of gone through a list of bands. We said our opinions, and they all kind of seem to be a highlight in some respect. I mean, yeah, it's not fair really to pick one over the other, is it? But I think any band we've mentioned, good or bad, today, you need to check out.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll find something that you'll enjoy, because it's a bloody awesome 4 days. It was great.
It really was. And Sian, we've got Planet Rocker doing the new festival, which we're going to be going to.
Winter's End.
End Dorset. End of February. So we'll be there at that to cover that. So again, that's a festival that's built around the best of British. So that's
and that's
why
we're there.
obviously.
Obviously.
So that's why we can go along and we'll be able to report back and obviously tell you guys about what we're seeing and what we're hearing, and bring you quite a few interviews, we hope, from there.
Hopefully, yeah.
So, hopefully you've enjoyed listening to the Ida War interview. We enjoyed doing it. It was great to chat with them. That was good. So it was good. So, podcast number one.
Podcast number one, in the pocket.
In the pocket.
Out of sight.
Yeah. So we'll be bringing you loads more interviews as we come up through. You can check us out and give us a follow on Twitter at DTFpod. So for Down the Front Podcast, but DTFpod, because somebody stole all the other words that we needed.
No. Who would have thought that the letters DTF would have been so popular?
Give us a follow at DTFpod. We also have a Facebook page that you can follow us on. So, yeah, check us out. Follow us. We review a lot of music between us, not just gigs, but we'll review new albums that are coming out and that kind of thing as well. So, yeah, we're all about the music.
All about the music. And a big thanks to Behind the Barricade for giving us this opportunity to do this podcast. So, thanks to those guys as well.
So, yeah, make sure you check out the Behind the Barricade podcast if you haven't already. So that's a great thing to go and listen to. They do some awesome interviews.
Not as awesome as us, though, obviously.
So, yeah, we'll be booking up interviews now. So we'll hopefully be bringing you this podcast on a weekly basis. We'll be bringing you a new band, hopefully, each week that we can have a chat with and you can learn about. Because it's good to tell you about all the bands that we've got over here. And we follow a lot of new music as well. So hopefully we're bringing you a lot of bands that you've not heard of before. So hopefully you can make some good discoveries.
Yeah. And if you have heard of them, then, well, aren't you clever?
You are clever.
You are clever. You're listening to this. You must be.
So give us a follow on Twitter. Give us a like on Facebook. Send us some messages. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you think about the podcast. Tell us where you want us to improve, what you'd like us to focus on, maybe. We're new to this, so bear with us. We're trying to we're trying to find our groove.
Find the groove.
Find the groove. It's been good talking to you. And we'll be back next week, won't we, David?
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
And lots of music between now and then. So let's do it.
Let's do this. And we can play you out of this podcast now with some awesome music from Idle War.
Enjoy, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.